Yo, what's going on, man? You guys are now tuned back into the Free Sauce Podcast, man. And we got another banger of an episode for you guys today, man. You already know, but before we get into the episode, make sure you hit that like button, share, comment, hit that subscribe button, man. We on the run to 200. Like I said, we need that done ASAP. Help us out, boost the numbers, do all that good stuff, man. Boost the engagement, do everything like that. Make sure you keep on tuning in with the Instagram page. We got merch still, www.freesauceshop.com. Get your merch, real cheap, great quality. So get you some of that. I think that's it, man. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the episode. You go ahead and introduce yourself.
What's going on, y'all? It's Miles Foster here. What's up, y'all?
What's going
on? What's up? You know, like, it's been a pleasure to have you on here because, you know, like, I've been seeing you around campus.
Yeah.
And just, you know, finally actually being able to sit down with you. Yep. Thank you for, you know, giving us this pleasure.
I appreciate it. I know, when we spoke the other night, I was like, yeah, for sure. I know H linked it up. So definitely have to come sit down with y'all.
Yeah. And if you're watching at home, I know y'all like, man, they must be tapped in with the team now. Probably seeing back-to-back episodes of basketball players. But, you know, that's what we all about. We like to, that's what we wanted to do, really go get more involved with the school, with all the teams, hit all the teams, not just basketball, football, track, volleyball. So if y'all seen it out there, we looking to collab with y'all next. So we coming.
Oh yeah. And to get the episode started, I want to ask you, like, how has your college experience been so far?
Oh, I mean, like, well, obviously I transferred. This is my first year here at ISU. I went to Monmouth in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I would say my freshman year was kind of weird because it was the pandemic. It was late. It was the fall of 2020, so like, everybody was still wearing masks and like social distancing. So I feel like as a freshman, like that being your first experience at college is kind of weird. So I kind of had to adjust. And then on top of that, basketball wise too, like playing in empty arenas, you know, my family not being able to come to the game. But definitely it was weird. Like it was a lot to adjust to. But I think my sophomore year was kind of went back to normal. So I really kind of consider that really my first year because that's when I really got that, you know, college experience, meeting people, walking to class, being in a class full of students. Having people come to your games and stuff like that. So I would say, you know, I mean, it was exciting. You know, I was just, you know, in high school, I would have never imagined I'd be in this position. So kind of just looking back from within, like, it's definitely been, like, a good experience so far.
And that's what's up. And, like, I wanted to also, like, touch on this. Like, was it more mental during your first year? Since, like you said, like, there's nobody coming to games. It was, like, empty.
Yeah, definitely. I would say it was mental and it was stressful, too. Like, I remember my first ever college game got canceled like 15 minutes before because somebody on the other team tested positive
for COVID. Damn.
So it was like,
I'd be mad.
So like, think about it, you know, you work for this your whole life, like it's build up. And then you finally get to that moment and then it's like, damn, like somebody tested positive. Now y'all got to shut down too. You don't even know if anybody's sick. So we had to sit out for like 2 weeks, no practice, no workouts, no nothing, just quarantine. So it was definitely stressful. To have to do all that social distancing and stuff, and like it's college, like that's supposed to be one of the most, you know, social times of your life. So I would say it was definitely weird and stressful, and on top of that, you know, you got to get used to school and college because it's different in high school and stuff like that. So definitely, I would say it was a lot of stress than a normal freshman year.
Mm-hmm. And you start like 2 weeks off, not just for like physical wise, especially when we playing in college. So you plan to get some of the top athletes in the world, yeah. You know. 2 weeks off from conditioning, shooting a basketball, doing a lot of that. If you're not able to get to your own gym or something like that, then it's rough. Yeah. You know? So from that point, you're doing straight strength stuff, you know, push-ups, body weight stuff.
Yeah, one-on-one stuff.
Yeah.
And they try, like, especially, they try to do their best at my old school, but then you also got to think, like, it's the middle of winter. So, like, even if you want to go outside and try and do some workouts, it's snowing outside, it's cold. You can't be inside because you technically on lockdown. It wasn't regulation rules at the time. So, yeah, it's not a lot of loopholes. So, you got to just get it on your own. Like you said, push-ups, sit-ups, whatever you can to try and stay as ready as possible.
Yeah, that's tough.
And I feel like that's a lot to, you know, because, like, I couldn't imagine myself being a college student and then being an athlete on top of that, whereas in, like, you're not seeing people on the regular. You're not being able to make friends because, like you said, the whole point of being in college is to make as many friends as possible because you don't know who's going to be who in the near future.
Exactly, network, yeah.
And then I also wanted to piggyback on that. Like, how did you feel your first game actually, you know, seeing your parents for the first time and everything? Like, how was that feeling?
Oh, yeah, it was the coolest. It was probably the coolest moment ever. Like, my parents always came to my high school games, but I feel like that next year, my sophomore year, we played Charlotte. And they flew down to Charlotte because I'm originally from New York. So they flew down to Charlotte, came to watch me play, packed the arena. Like, it was probably one of the coolest. I got family down in North Carolina too, so they popped out. Like it was just cool. Like, it was one of those things that you just dream about as a kid. And it kind of just take a look back at all the work you put in to be in that position. So it was cool. It was exciting. And, you know, just something I'll remember, you know, for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. And I want to shout out to a lot of parents for that too, because sometimes, you know, not everybody is lucky enough to have parents come to every game sometimes.
Definitely, yeah,
you know,
100%. So. It's definitely underrated. Even now, like, looking back, like, obviously, my family, like, they try their best, but they can't come to every game out here, you know. They got work, they got other responsibilities to do. So just having that, being kind of close to home at the time, and mm-hmm. having family be able to come support you, come show love, like, it definitely means a lot.
Yeah, that could be tough for athletes. If you come from, like, in high school, you got probably 5-10 family members that might come and watch you each
easily,
and every
yeah.
game. Each and every game, they're there home or away just because they can get there in 30, 45, whatever the case may be.
Yep.
But now you go to a school thousands of miles away, it's a little bit harder. And now
yeah.
you go from every game to maybe once, twice, however many times they can get there
exactly.
throughout the season, you
yeah.
know. And it could become tough. But I think that the players that's able to overcome that and be like, you know, I know that shit, they watching at home, so I'm going to still perform. I'm going to still do what I got to do because
yeah.
I know they still watching no matter what. I feel like those are the ones that's able to overcome that battle.
Yeah, I try and look at it too. Like, you know, if I'm fortunate enough to play pro, you know, whether that's the NBA overseas, like, they're not going to be at every game either. It's simple
right.
as that. So kind of just trying to train and think like a pro, act like a pro so I can get to that level too. So mm-hmm. that's how I kind of look at it.
Yeah, that's a great, like, outlook on it. And then I wanted to also, you know, transition a little bit. So, like, how was that? How did you transition from one school to another? Like, how was that process
yeah.
like?
Nah, so my first 2 years, my sophomore year, we had a really, really good squad. We actually lost in the conference tournament to St. Peter's. That was the year they made that run.
Oh, wow.
In the NCAA tournament. We lost to them by, like, 4 in our uh-huh. conference tournament. So then that next year I stayed, which was last year, and we lost damn near everybody. Like, everybody basically graduated, whatever the case may be. And, you know, my coach was kind of like, you know, I want y'all next up. Like, some of the guys coming to next up. Like, I'm not going to hit the transfer portal for real. Like, it's y'all. Like, y'all waited y'all turn. It is what it is. You know, we had the injury bug. A lot of guys fell down. So we kind of, I think we definitely underperformed last year. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, like, I just needed a change of scenery in order to challenge myself. You know, I feel like sometimes, especially as athletes, like, when you get too comfortable, it's not a good thing. Because, like, if you want to push yourself and get to the next level, you got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. So, like, I knew I had to challenge myself in order what I wanted to get to and what I want to do for my future. Like, I just had to change my whole stuff, so.
And then kind of, like, speak on coming to ISU, how has that been? Has it been
yeah.
what you thought it was going to be,
yeah.
what they kind of, like, presented it to you as?
Yeah.
You know, kind of speak on that.
Nah, yeah, Coach P. I guess kind of what stood out to me, like, when I hit the portal, I heard from a lot of different schools, like schools from all over the country, all different levels, you name it, like, they probably hit me. And I think kind of what stood out about ISU is I feel like in the portal, it's kind of like Tinder a little bit. Like, it's like speed dating for
yeah.
real, for real. Like, all these coaches telling you how good you are, how much they love you, whatever. Uh-huh. And I feel like there'd be a lot of, through the smoke screen, everybody kind of going to tell you what you want to hear.
Right.
I felt like with Coach Pete and the staff here, they kind of just recruited me in truth. They was like, all right, look, you good, but this is what you need to work on. This is what you need to do. And I feel like that's genuine. That's real. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, at the end of the day, like, at least I know that, all right, they got my best interest because they know what I need to work on. This is the plan for what they get versus, like, somebody kind of just being a yes man, tell you what you want to hear. That's not always genuine. They're just trying to get you there, and then you might get there something completely different.
And they kind of set the tone for
what to expect.
Yeah, we gonna work.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
so then when you get there, ain't we told you what it was straight up.
Yeah, we know who you are. We know what you done. We that's why we talking to you right now. But
yeah.
we here to work. We're here to improve. We trying to go somewhere. So
yeah.
we send the tone in the door. Hey, we love you. We like you, and we want you to be here. But we got expectations.
Yeah, and I feel like that's real.
Yeah, and I feel like we hit it a lot of times when people get asked, like, what stood out to you about this school or this team, and it's like, I had a lot of teams. I had a lot of offers, but through all the little bullshit, the little, yeah, we want you to, just the all the smoke and mirrors, like you said,
yeah.
through all of that, it was a team that stood out who really, they hit me, you know? They watched me as a player, or they knew me as a player, and they said, we want you as the player,
yeah.
you know? So
yeah,
I feel
definitely.
Like we hear that a lot when it comes to why this team.
And then to even add on top of that too, like, that little advice that you just gave right there could be a good thing for people to implement to their day-to-day lives with friends. Sometimes, you know, like, you need people around you that can give you criticism, like,
yeah,
tell you, like,
keep it real,
like, bro, you're not doing this like you're supposed to do. So sometimes, you know, like having a coach like that, be like, okay, you know, we know you are phenomenal to begin with. Mm-hmm. You have all the skills, that all the talents that we are looking for. But at the end of the day, we know you can improve.
Exactly.
Sometimes we need to hear that consistently. Sometimes I feel like be able to take criticism. Yeah.
Especially like with like the younger generation when it comes to basketball, like y'all see it like on the internet, like TikTok, like you see all the hype coming with mm-hmm. these kids. They'd be like 10, 11, 12 years old with a bunch of just people telling them how good they are, how good they are. And then the first time in their life they face adversity when they're like 19, 20, they don't know how to handle it.
Man.
So I think that's like, it's important. Like, it's definitely big, like, you know?
Yeah. And then when did you realize you were that good? Like, when did that kick in?
I mean, honestly, to be honest, I really wasn't. Like, I was no better than the average person. Like, I wasn't, like, middle school, I was all right. Mm-hmm. 9th, 10th grade, I was okay. 10th grade, I didn't even play at all on varsity. I was riding the bench. And it really wasn't until my junior year I started to play a little bit more. I was decent, but still, even then, I wasn't like a D1 lock. Mm-hmm. I wasn't ranked, none of that. And I feel like, you know, I just kept working. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, I paid attention to, like, you know, the hype and the rankings and stuff like that. But I felt like with me, like, I just stayed in the gym. And I feel like that was the biggest thing. And then once I started to really improve was from, I would say, my junior summer to my senior year. That's when I started to get looks and stuff like that. But you could ask around with people in my camp. No one had me, like, you know, being able to play Division I basketball, stuff like that. But I just kept working, and I had the right people in my corner, mm-hmm. you know, supporting me, helping me, working with me. But definitely just a testament, just staying in the gym and just staying focused.
That's what's up for real, because I feel like a lot of players can, like he said, he didn't play his sophomore year. A lot of players can get big head and be like, oh man, I feel like I should have his spot.
Yeah.
Man, why coach put him in? It's better. Man, but in practice he was doing, you know.
And that's human nature too. Like, I feel like people sleep. That's definitely human nature.
Competitive.
And even my high school coach would tell, like, I didn't run away. I didn't transfer, like, out of high school. Like, even when I wasn't playing, I just stayed there and worked. I was like, you know what? Like, it is what it is. Like, I got to control what I could control. Mm-hmm. So I could like sit here, you know, complain, talk down on other people. I could just get in the gym and work. And then when it's my turn, I'm show out.
Cause I bet you it's a lot of, we probably know a lot of kids that this didn't happen to. Oh, he got on the team in sophomore, freshman, junior, or whatever, and then his role wasn't what he thought it was gonna be.
Yeah.
You know, he thought he was better than what coach thought he was, you know, and then he took that personally and he decided, man, I'm done, I ain't finna play for him no more. Coach, he don't fuck with me, you know, he playing favoritism and shit like that. And instead of him turning to a Miles Foster, you know, I just stayed in the gym and I just worked. Now I just quit because I didn't want to put in the work. I didn't see a way around it.
Yeah, know? And that's the biggest thing, like, especially with all sports, like, just mental toughness. Because, like, I feel like those who are successful, mm-hmm. they fail just as much as the next man, but they just keep sticking with it. They keep grinding. They keep pushing. Like I remember my junior year, I got dropped from my AAU team straight up 17s. Like,
shit.
I got kicked off my team. I remember it's March. I'm like, damn, like, live period about to pull up. I don't know what I'm finna do. I'm talking to my mom. Like, damn, like. Like, I'm looking for somebody to play with. I literally got dropped from my team, like, my kids, like, a week or two before. Like, but shout out to my boy Tyler. He put me onto his team. I ran with them for the rest of the summer. The rest was history. Like, I got lucky at the very end. But, like, it's crazy. Something as small as that, if I'd just been like, you know what, damn, like,
yeah,
it's over or whatever, sitting on my crib, like, who knows where I'd be right now. But, like, I just kept pushing. I just kept going.
Yeah, I feel like that's... Man, that's key, especially, and it's so hard to do when you're young, because it's hard not to take things personally, you know, because like we say, we compare. So it's like, man, I've been watching this dude in practice every day, and he's not better than me, but it just might be, shit, this will work right now for the squad, for the five that we got, this will, we need exactly. him right here in this position, because he would gel right now. You don't really gel with what they got going on. You might be better, yeah, but... It's a team. This is a team sport.
And that's cool. And that's, there's nothing wrong with you in your head knowing that. It's just, you could, I bet you know that. Now what you going to do with that? Are you going to sit here and continue to complain, not do what you're supposed to do? Or you going to make sure you're at practice 15 minutes before him every day? You going to make sure you're getting up extra shots, extra lifts, watching film? Like,
I'm waiting for that opportunity.
Yeah, doing whatever you can. So when that opportunity comes, there's no question. Like, you ready?
Because I know we either going to blow somebody out or we going to get blown out. So my time going,
exactly.
I'm going to get in.
Yeah.
One way or another, I'm going to get in and I'm going to do something with the ball when I get in. You know, that's what it really comes down to.
Like, one thing that I want to say I admire is the fact that you're able to, you know, put things into perspectives, you know, like looking at things from different angles. Because sometimes, you know, like you're saying, like we might be young, so we don't, you know, it's my way or the highway. Mm-hmm. So being able to, you know, now sit back, reflect, and be like, sometimes, you know, maybe my opportunity is not now, but it's coming.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people don't understand that yet. Like, it might not be right now, but just stick to it, like you're saying, and it's eventually going to come.
Yeah. And one thing that's interesting, even if it never officially comes, it's going to come in a different way than you think. Mm-hmm. It's going to pay you back in some type of way. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you might not get all the minutes you want, but all right, now, the coach you was playing for knew you was working hard, knew you was doing supposed to do, now he set you up for a job after mm-hmm. to go coach at this program or do that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it may not come directly how you think it may, mm-hmm. but sometimes it comes in other ways too.
And let's go back to, I think, one of the episodes with H, we touched on it. It's basically the when am I going to get everything? You know, yeah. I know I'm putting in the work. I know, with Jalen too. I know I'm putting in the work. I know I'm, you know, I'm at practice every day. I know the plays. I'm watching film. You know, I'm dedicated. But when am I going to get that playing time? When is that big reward going to hit? And like you say, shit, it might not be on the basketball, on the court. You know, it might be a job. Might be who the fuck knows. You know, it's just that when we all search for it, when is we going to get that reward that we've been working for?
Yeah.
You know?
And then to touch that on part on too is the fact that, like, just make sure not to close no doors.
Yeah.
Like you saying, like, eventually maybe it might come in a form where your former coach is the one giving you the job offer. You never really know.
Yeah, especially in basketball too. Like, college basketball is all about, it's a tight, tight circle. So it's all about networking. And every year coaching jobs change, mm-hmm. players leave. So everybody be going, everybody know everybody. Like, I'll give you an example. The coach at Wake Forest right now, the head coach at Wake Forest, he's at East Tennessee like 3-4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But then 4-5 years before that, he was at a small JUCO out in Oklahoma.
Okay.
How you go from that to, like, that's what I'm saying. So, like, people be moving up, leveling up, going to different spots all the time. So he might know somebody. Somebody might have played for him at that JUCO. They was doing what they were supposed to do. I don't know. But now maybe he worked for him at Wake Forest. So yeah, it all changed.
Not basketball, but it's kind of like the Deion Sanders situation, you know?
Yeah.
He started shit. If niggas really been following Deion, he started off coaching his sons.
Yep.
Little kids.
Yeah, I used to watch the show.
Yeah. He started off there. Moved up. College.
Jackson State.
There. At a small mid-level school. And then, boom. Now I go to Colorado, and I'm pretty sure he got more room to grow after that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just feel like it's just a testament to people, you know, just waiting their turn, you know, learning what they need to learn at all the levels.
Yep.
I feel like that's really a story of, man, he just leveled up over time.
Yeah.
Because we like to skip steps a lot of time.
Yep.
So when you take the time to properly go through each level and learn what you got to learn, it's easy from that point to navigate through each and every level.
That is true. And then that leads me to my next question. You know, like, how do you balance being a student and an athlete? Because I definitely know that's not easy.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, my parents, growing up, my parents were pretty strict on me mm-hmm. when it came to school and stuff like that. They're Jamaican, so, like, they really don't play that for real. But I would say for me, I think the biggest thing is just time management. Like there's enough time in the day to do stuff that you need to do if you want to do it and you plan properly to do it. So, like, boom. Like, if I know I got practice at 3 and I got lift at 2 or whatever, like, I'm going to make sure I maybe do one or two pieces of assignments before I go there. Mm-hmm. And then, so then that night, the load's not that big. Like, it's not that much work. And then if we got a game on Saturday, I'm not trying to do no work Friday night because I'm just trying to focus, lock in for the game. So Thursday, all right, that's got to be a big homework night. It's just planning and properly planning. You can have people to help you with it. You know, they got apps and stuff like that on your phone to help. But I think just staying on top of it is just, you know, properly planning, just trying to stay organized, planning ahead too.
Okay, that's what's up. I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about, like, kind of like ISU social life. You've been here probably, what, about 6, 7, 8 months, something like that. But since then, how has it been? How the ladies treat you? How is that?
I mean, like, it's definitely, like, I've been downtown a little bit. Sorry. I'll be uptown a lot more. But, I mean, it's smooth. I've been trying to go to more of the BSU functions.
Okay.
But I haven't. It don't usually, especially now in being in season, it don't really line up on the weekends. We usually be at the game. But in the spring, I'll probably be outside a little bit more. But not, I mean, it's been solid so far. It's not too bad. If you want to do something, there's probably something for you to do.
Yeah.
For sure. That's how I see it. So, yeah.
If there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
Nah, for sure. That's what's up. So, like, kind of speak on. I want to ask you about your teammates a little bit.
Yeah.
Who on the team would you say like is the party guy that you would go to? You know, say I want to go outside. Who's a party guy?
I'll definitely say Nick, because Nick been here for 4 years.
Okay.
He know everybody. So if you're looking for some motion, like, he's definitely probably the one to hit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we got a couple transfers, so it's kind of their first year, and they don't really know what the moves are and stuff like that. But I say Nick been here for a minute, so like, he know everybody. Everybody know him.
Yeah.
So he kind of, I say he the party boy of the team, definitely. All
right. You stand, I'm pretty sure you off campus, right?
Yeah.
Off campus. You, so like, for y'all meal plans, I know when you in the dorms and shit, you obviously you eating at the
Lincoln's or Waterson, yeah.
Yeah. So for like, for your meals, are you want a strict meal plan? You eating at the dining halls? What are you consuming?
Yeah, so I get, since I'm off campus on the team, I only get one swipe a day.
Damn.
So I really
plan.
Yeah, plan. So, but I would say the staff do a good job. Like, usually after practice, like in the locker room, they'll have eats after most practices. So that'll probably cover dinner or something like that. But as far as breakfast or something, yeah, I usually go grocery shopping like every 2 weeks.
Okay.
So keep it cordial, keep it light, so nothing crazy. I always be on the go, though, so it's like trying to balance it. I don't want to, sometimes I get caught up in ordering out too much. But yeah, I try to go grocery shopping like every 2 weeks.
Okay. And it was something we had touched on with last episode when it comes to like injuries. Mm-hmm. I know that's something for any sport, injuries is something that as you get older, you just got to take better care of your body.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Conditioning, eating, like we saying, anything, you just gotta take more care of your body. You had any major injuries or anything like that?
No, thank God I haven't. Knock on wood, but thankfully I haven't. Probably the worst I had, I think, was my sophomore summer. I had just a rolled ankle. I was out for like a week, 2 weeks and a half. But I've been blessed, definitely, since high school. I haven't had any major injuries, and I don't want to say I'm just 100% lucky, but definitely just kind of just paying attention to your body, listening to your body. I think now, more recently, I started to feel a little bit more than back when I was like a freshman or a sophomore, as far as like my body feeling tired or worn down. I would say that the biggest thing for me was helped me is just stretching, like stretching not only before practice, but after we done. Obviously icing. But yeah, stretching, I'd say, is the biggest thing. Just like stretching before you go to sleep, just loosens your body up. It makes you feel ready to go. So
I'm trying to say, even if you don't play sports,
stretching is great.
You gotta stretch.
Yeah. Even if you don't, bro, that's how I hear people that's like 50 plus and shit like that, man. I just stretch every day. That's how I feel, you know, not 15 or 16, but I feel young still.
Exactly.
So I don't
yeah.
feel 55. I don't feel 60 because
I'm just
stretching.
One of my old coaches in my old school, his name's J.R. Reed, number 5 draft pick in, I want to say, the late 70s to the Hornets.
Okay.
50 years old, moving like he 25, he'd be stretching.
Yeah.
Stretching OD. He'd be stretching with us before practice, stretch after, like in great shape for 50. But like he told me, he put me on when I was a youngin', like when I was a freshman, to like, you got to take care of your body now. So then by the time you get there, you're still moving like you in your 20s.
Yeah, I feel like that's why a lot of people, you hear the phrase, man, I'm scared to get old and shit like that, you know. I'm not scared to get old because
I want
to
get old.
It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen one day or another. But I feel like it's just the fact that they see people that's elderly and they can't really do for themselves.
Exactly.
They're
yeah.
wheelchair financially, they can't do for themselves. Yeah. I think that's where the fear comes. But shit, with old age comes
a lot of knowledge.
Yeah. So
a lot of wisdom.
I'm not ready to get old, but I look forward to it.
I definitely want to get old.
But what's pushing you to the old age?
I just feel like I will have a lot more to pass on. I will have a lot more to, you know, give to the next generation.
Okay.
I think that's what, because, you know, like I've been living with my grandma for quite some time now. So like I've gotten to see the way that she thinks. I've gotten to understand. So now I want to be able to, you know, pass that knowledge down to somebody else.
Yeah. That's what's up.
And I feel like also old people, you know, like we don't give them enough credit. Like, to be on this earth for that long, you definitely did something right.
You was living right.
You had to do something right. Like, I know we all might look at them and be like, damn, they're so stubborn, they're so this and that. But at the same time, though, you gotta realize, like, times is changing. So what, like, we might get old and what we think is normal, it's not gonna be normal for the next generation. So we still have to somewhat try to learn, but they also gotta understand the generation that we coming from.
Yeah.
I think about that all the time. Like, when we get older, our kids and grandkids gonna look at us like, man, this old nigga right here, what the fuck you talking about? He just, you know, he just talking. But really, I'm giving y'all life's gems right now. You know, I'm giving y'all the road to success. But we talk about it all the time. I just feel like as human beings, we gonna have to go through that fire by ourselves.
Oh yeah.
You know, I feel like it's, life is the greatest teacher. So yeah, somebody could really teach you stuff, your mom and your parents and everybody could drill stuff into your head, but I feel like for you to really get it, you're gonna have to go through that fire, and you know, some mistakes you're gonna have to make.
Yep.
That is true.
For sure.
And then that leads me to, you know, like, to ask you, like, what has been some of your favorite memories on the court this season?
This season? Now we had a couple. I think I would say definitely the Kentucky game. Mm-hmm. That was cool. Just playing in that environment, you know. Mm. I mean, y'all know all the NBA players that came out of there, like,
yeah.
Coach, a lot of them.
Yeah. John Calipari. That's just like, that's people I grew up watching when I was in middle school, high school, and like,
it was at Kentucky.
Yeah, it was at Kentucky, yeah. So like, if you told me like 5-6 years ago I played in that environment, I'd be like, bro, what? Like,
sheesh.
I would be geeked. So I'll say that's something I'm gonna remember for the rest of my life. Like, and then my family being able to pop out to that, like, I would say that was definitely up there. We had an MTE to Florida. That was a cool trip. Kind of just, we went 2-1, but like still just to like, you know, be on the beach during Thanksgiving with my teammates and stuff like that. Stay at a nice resort.
That's where I was here.
Yeah,
Thanksgiving?
So, yeah, so it was smooth. Like just bonding, going out after games and stuff like that. We had a great time. But yeah, no, I mean, I'll say just the ups and downs of the shit, like, you know. Like, everybody knows, it's a grind. It's a process. Like, you know, just going to war every day with your teammates, practicing, competing every day. Like, I feel like those little things, I think I'm going to probably miss the most when it's all said and done. Just, like, I feel like that's the stuff that goes under, that people don't really talk about. But, like, that's some of the biggest things, too. Like, kind of just working at it every day. It's just like life, you know, just trying to better yourself, trying to be 1% better every single day.
Okay, so outside of you, who's the biggest competitor on the team?
Biggest competitor, I'll say Kendall Lewis for sure. Like, he just got that dog in him. Like, he always gonna go 110%. Like, he always going hard. So like, you can never question like whether he going hard or not. So like,
you supposed to have him on the show too. So yeah, you see him soon.
Yeah, you can never question like whether he going hard or not. Like, even in the game, like, it might be maybe some X's and O's or maybe basketball mistakes. That's fine. But like, you can never question his effort, which I think is one of like, that's one of the coolest things ever. Like, you know, he gonna give 110%.
Okay.
Isha touched on it after the podcast yesterday. Yeah. He said Kendall works like nobody else.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he definitely a workhorse. Like, he go hard. He definitely go hard. I mean, that's why he got everybody respect. Like, you can't knock that at all. Like, basically the theme what we've been talking about today. Like, I think he embodies that. Like, as an athlete, as a person, like all that. So
we had asked H what NBA player he thought his game had like embodied the most. He said Bobby Portis. Who would you say?
He said Bobby Portis.
Yeah, Bobby Portis for him.
Yeah, that's funny. I would say, I'm trying to think, like, I'll probably say like Julius Randle. We both left-handed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Both physical, crafty. Yeah, I'll say Julius Randle.
Julius Randle, okay.
Maybe who else? Who else is left? Who else is a good lefty? Like, maybe like a Gen Z Z-Bo.
Okay. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Maybe like Zion with like a little bit less bounce, but like we kind of move the same. I'll probably say those three.
Yeah, dominant lefties.
Yeah. So those probably my three comparisons if you mash them all up into one person.
Okay, I'll fuck with that.
So yeah, but probably Julius Randle the first. I got a few comparisons to him, just how he move and operate.
Like, I feel like in general, like, lefties are the hardest to guard in any sport.
Everything is foot back. Yeah,
they're just so awkward. It's hard.
Like, sometimes I'd be wondering, like, but also they'd be the most gifted in the sport when they actually take it serious.
Yeah.
And they have, like a lefty in baseball, nice swing. Lefty in basketball, nice shot. It's everything the lefty do is much smoother.
Yeah, it's just
very smooth. Yeah. It's very smooth.
And then I would also wanted to ask you, like, has there been, like, any moments where it's, like, sometimes you wish, like, oh, like, let's say it's a, you know, you got a game and then you got a social life, you know, like, so how do you like try to make those decisions? Like, do you sometimes, you know, like, influence might be like, okay, let's go out.
Yeah.
Or the influence might be like, you know, let's stay because we got a game coming
up.
Like, how do you try to, you know?
No, definitely. The way I see it, I feel like it all depends on what you want. You know, there's 350 college basketball, Division I college basketball teams. Mm-hmm. Not everybody going to go have a chance to go pro. That's just the numbers. That's just what it is. That's the reality. Yeah. Right. I feel like it really just depends what you're looking for. As far as me, what I'm trying to do, like, I think when the social influence and social life, because like it's obviously it's gonna be this college, there's gonna be distractions mm-hmm. everywhere. But when I feel like I'm okay with it, but once it starts to affect you as a basketball player, you gotta keep the main thing.
Right.
I feel like that's the biggest thing. So like once it starts to affect like oh we went out last night, damn I had a shitty practice today because I'm tired, or damn we went out last night, I'm tore up because I can't even function right now because I was out late last night doing whatever. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like that's when it becomes a problem. Or you know, we got a game tomorrow, I'm out doing God knows what, and I got to be up at 8, 9 a.m. I feel like you got to have a balance to that. Just like with academics and athletics, like you got to have a balance to that. So like obviously there's going to be some people like that's not what they're trying to do, and that's cool. That's fine. Do what you got to do. Like if you're not trying to play professionally, you're not trying to make money off this, that's fine. But I feel like if that's what you're trying to do, especially you're trying to win, it's hard to win in college. Everybody good now. It's not like high school anymore where you're the man. So like it really depends on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to win and be successful and have a good college career, like you got to keep the main thing.
Yeah, I feel like that's something we seeing right now in colleges. We got a lot of with NIL and shit like yeah. that. It's a lot of money being thrown around, so yeah. it's hard for like you say, a lot of kids be like, shit, I just want to go to college. Shit, I'll play 4 years, collect NIL money, and I'm cool. I'm really not, that's fine.
Like,
I'm not looking to go pro.
Yeah, you got your degree for free. Like, you still won in life. Like, you got to go to school for free. You made some money on the side. You got to play basketball. Like,
and really, a lot of niggas live off college fame for a long time.
Yeah.
Just like, look at Baker Mayfield. Look at Johnny Manziel. Look at niggas like that. They done lived off college fame for a long time just because they were so dominant there. NIL now making it crazy.
Yeah.
Making it crazy.
And I feel like I support the NIL stuff. Like it's about time the college athletes got paid. I just feel like sometimes, you know, I feel like it could become dangerous when you lead with that decision. Like sometimes if you just go to school just based off the money, like, yeah, it might be cool in the moment, but then maybe you get there and you're not happy. You know, because, like, you know how people say money don't always buy happiness. Like, you could be at a certain spot, but damn, like, you don't really like the coaches. You don't really like the program. You don't really like what's going on. So then, damn, was it really worth it? Like, so if you do what you're supposed to do, you eventually get paid for this.
Do you think that's why we're seeing, especially in college basketball, like more competitive games all around? Because, you know, like I can remember when we was like probably in early high school days, you know, like middle school, niggas was going undefeated seasons and shit like that.
Well, yeah.
Now you really not seeing that shit no more.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the transfer portal, it brings parity to college basketball. I personally think so because now you got guys transferring from the highest level schools down. Then you got guys who have really good careers transferring down all the way up. So, like, it's just a mix and match. Like I said, it's like Tinder. It's like swipe, swipe left, swipe right. Like, so I think it brings parity and kind of evens the score a little bit. And then you also have the fifth-year options with the COVID kids. Mm-hmm. So now you got teams that aren't that good, but they so old that they good because they just got all this experience. So
yeah.
I feel like it brings balance and it brings parity to college basketball. That's why I think you see all these upsets going on in preseason and non-conference, and then you see all these upsets going on in the tournament because I feel like people aren't really that much better than each other. It's just kind of what their situation was and what their what spots they were in when they were coming out of high school into college.
We had touched on it with H. It's kind of like I think you have said in the NBA, the number 15 guy on that team could go to any LA Fitness and give you 100 in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
No, I don't care. Nick, give me the best LA Fitness guy, 100. From the number 15 guy on the bench, it just speaks to how competitive and how great you got to be. And that's NBA. So college, same thing. You got to, these guys putting in hours in the gym each and every day. So it just speaks to the competitiveness of everything.
Definitely.
So, like, I'm going to just put you on a test right now. So let's say game on the line, right?
Yeah.
You only have one shot that you can make, okay?
Yeah.
What is your go-to shot?
My go-to shot? Probably a face up. I'll probably face up and then I'll just probably get to my left hand, left hook. Maybe shot fake, pivot, but then I'll probably get to my left hook. If the game on the line, yeah. But yeah, I'm gonna put pressure on that ref though to call that foul though.
That's smart.
Yeah. He might not call it but I'm gonna make him think about calling it. So that'll probably be my go to, yeah.
Yeah, that's a breath of fresh air to hear today, especially with how the 3-point ball is being shot. That's a breath of fresh air. I'm a hezzy cross twin swing and pull up for the fade from deep. Nah, I'm like you say, I'm gonna try to put pressure, put it in the ref hand basically.
and let him make the call. If he don't make it, then okay. If not, we go to OT, hopefully.
Yeah.
If we tie, you know.
Okay. That's like you saying, like, Curry has changed the game so much way, but he want to shoot from the logo.
Niggas want to pull up. they want the dramatic, you know. And we had talked about that too, with like kind of how to enter the way the NBA going. Basically, how it's just like it's all entertainment right now. So they want to see the high scoring games. They want to see less defense and shit like that.
Yeah,
I just feel like it makes it.
Yeah, they doing it in college too. They changed the rule this year where it's harder to get a charge.
Yeah,
because it's basically harder on the defense now.
And in college, you see charges a lot
to pick up. Yeah,
it's very fundamental.
It's a part of the game, so it's hard. You're not gonna get the charge call as much in college anymore because that's what they want to see, more offense.
Man, bring back real basketball.
I think it's on the way.
And then the hand checking rule got thrown out.
Damn,
can't hand check no more.
You can't do shit right.
The game's changing. That's all I can say. We seen it across every sport: baseball, basketball, football. They changing, and I think it's just they all trying to find ways to make more money. I feel like things have been the same for a long time. So it's a business at the end of the day. So they're just trying to find ways to make more money. But why are we on the NBA? You watch NBA?
Yeah.
Was we had asked H's teams and everything. So what's your teams right now? Favorites to go to the finals, Eastern and Western Conference.
So my favorites for the West right now, I would say probably either the Clippers or the Nuggets.
Nuggets the first.
Yeah, my dark horse for the West, I'm gonna say, is the Thunder. I think they could make a real run.
Okay.
If they lock in, they got some talent over there. For the East, I'm gonna say the Celtics, and I want to say Philly, but I'm still not sold on them. Like, I'm going to say the Celtics and Miami again. I think if Miami gets in the playoffs,
Miami.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Celtics and Miami.
No Milwaukee, no Dame?
I don't know. I don't know. My dark horse for the East, though, is the Knicks. I think Jalen Brunson having a really good year. I think they could.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I think if Julius Randle keeps stepping up, and then what's his name? The kid from the Raptors.
OG.
OG. Yeah,
he's been playing really well, too. Like,
and I'm not mad at that trade.
Yeah, no.
It was a good trade.
It was a great trade.
I think RJ and Quickly, they balling in Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like
you gotta think the Knicks won. They've been like 20-3 since the trade.
Of course. And that's why I fuck with the Clippers too. But like I said yesterday,
you think they're gonna choke?
I think they curse right now. They gotta get out of the Staples Center, man. They gotta get out of the Staples Center. But I do like the Clippers. I want to see Russ get another ring.
Yeah, man. So I'll say the Clippers and the Nuggets in the West.
Okay. Clippers, Nuggets.
That's a different list than H had gave. So
who did H have?
That's a great perspective.
He had the Clippers from the West, and who do you have from the East? Yeah, Boston.
I didn't think he had Clippers in the West.
He didn't have Clippers in the West?
I thought it was the Timberwolves.
Really? He said Clippers and the Timberwolves. Yeah.
That's a good one.
I had the Timberwolves. He had the Clippers.
Oh, so he had Clippers in Boston too. Ant-Man. So you probably had the same one. Because I was thinking somebody said Timberwolves.
I forgot about the Timberwolves.
Because I didn't want to pick the Clippers. That's why I said
because
the West is crazy.
It's packed. It's been like that for the past like 7 years.
Talk about competition, man. Oh my God. You're not even talking about the Kings, who were the regular season champs last year, the Warriors.
Still
got LeBron. Like,
it's a lot of good stories that could. I wouldn't be upset if they won the title.
Hectic. It's definitely hectic in the West.
Do you both think there's ever going to be a point in time where they get rid of the East and West and it's just going to be 30 teams going at it?
No.
I think they're going to, I'm not 100% sure, but I think they're about to expand the league.
Yeah, though. Two more teams.
Yeah, they're going to add two more teams.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I think they're going to do one in Vegas and one in Seattle.
I think that'll help with, you know, just bringing some
more revenue.
Something new to the league, you know.
And then they're going to move Memphis to the East.
Ooh.
Part of the Eastern Conference.
Because Memphis is in the East.
Yeah, basically, so they're going to move Memphis to the East.
I'm not mad with that.
So
that should be really fun to watch too.
I'm interested to see how they're gonna make those teams though, because like, how do you just throw a team in there? I feel like it's gonna be interesting how they do it. Like, do they just take a bunch of G League players? Do they just get a bunch of rookies? Like,
oh yeah,
it's gonna be too rough. Like,
how does that work?
Yeah,
or do they get like shit? We get
so I heard the theory that they're thinking about doing is both teams could pick, I think, a player from each squad. on current NBA rosters, but the GMs on those teams have five or maybe four, like four lock picks. So like they got four players that you cannot get from.
You can't touch. Oh, okay.
But everybody else is up for grabs.
That's still ass.
Yeah.
Because naturally, you're gonna put your four best players on lock.
Yeah.
So now
yeah.
you're getting a number five and below guy, which is really not gonna.
And then after that, you just got built to the draft. After
yeah, that. That's yeah. ass. That's ass.
I feel like that's the only way to really do it, though. Like
that's the only way. Competition
if they could pick anybody, they would just pick a super team.
Top two, though, at least. Like, give me two locks.
Two locks per team.
Yeah. So then I can get the number three guy.
Yeah.
That can possibly that can be play. One guy.
Yeah. That's
but
also, true.
But then you taking away from that team's. Chance of also making it deep because most teams might rely on the third option when it comes to playoff time.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But still, fuck all that. We try.
It's gonna be interesting to see how they do it. Yeah, for sure.
Especially in Vegas, we they gonna have to win some games. You know?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So, oh, it's gonna be fixed.
Yeah, so I feel like, but yeah, I'm interested to see how that's gonna work with just drafting the teams overall.
And then, so we talking about Vegas. Do fans ever reach out to you? Do fans ever reach out to you when you mess up their little parlays or anything?
I be getting like DMs and stuff. But I don't pay none of that no mind. Like I don't pay none of that no mind at all. Cause the moment they hit, they ain't say nothing to me. Like they ain't saying good game. But yeah, all that stuff is just mumbo jumbo. I try to stay away from that as far as possible. But
the DMs open?
No, they not open. it's definitely real. Like you go on the internet and see a lot of scandals be happening with that stuff. It's crazy. Yeah. Like a lot of college players be making a bag off of that stuff, which is wild. So
we was just talking about it. Like shit, Lee, you could hit a nigga before the game. Like, hey, how you feeling tonight?
Yeah,
I'm thinking of doing this. You feeling okay? You gonna come through?
Yeah, nah, it's crazy. I try to stay far away from that. I heard a story back in like 2012 that like Toledo out in Ohio, they had players over there point shaving games. Like,
oh shit.
Like they best players was like missing free throws and making sure that the line was straight for the games and we get paid. Like it's just crazy.
It's
like
it's so much fucking money in gambling. You got how many sites now? And for you to just be FanDuel.
They're making a lot of money off
now
that.
Now you got FanDuel, DraftKings, Prize
Bets, MGM,
everything.
LeBron just announced that he gonna do the football the picks next year. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's whenever you see LeBron name on anything, you know it's money involved.
Yeah, 100%.
They throwing a big bag. So
yeah, there's definitely a lot of money in that, but not right now.
And also, like the great point you hit on was the fact that like when they do win, you don't hear anything about it.
Yeah.
But you always going to hear about your losses. Like if you're willing to take that amount of risk, you might as well be able to deal with the end result. You know
exactly.
And so I wanted to, you know, piggyback a little bit too. Like, what has been some of the great lessons that playing basketball has taught you?
Definitely. Like I said, you know, I spoke on a little bit earlier. It's kind of just when you face adversity or an obstacle in your life or a challenge, like shit happens. Like you get knocked down, like you get up. Like it's life. Like nobody really cares. Like. You got to put the work in. You got to believe in yourself, I feel like, to achieve what you want to achieve. Like, you know, I said I had a lot of people tell me when I was coming up that I wasn't shit. Like, I wasn't good. Dropped me off teams, like, stuff like that. But I just kept working. Like, you know, obviously, like, having a good village around you and a good support system, I think, is important, too, for just kind of keeping your morale high and keeping your spirits high. I think that's really important. But just surrounding yourself with people that believe in you and care for you and think you could really do this. And then once you just put the work in, trusting God, I feel like anything is possible. But yeah, I'll say that just kind of sticking with it and just having the right mindset.
And I think you got touched on it a little bit, but I kind of wanted to ask you like what you see in this next steps for the next year. You thinking about coming back?
Yeah,
draft overseas. What is looking like?
So yeah, I've definitely been getting a lot of questions about that. You know, as the season starts to come to a close, the way I see, I'm not even really, and not to not answer your question, but I feel like I'm not even really trying to think about that because I feel like, you know, during this last stretch, if I do what I got to do and continue to improve and win these games and be dominant, I feel like all that stuff will take care of myself. I'll have plenty of options to do. But, you know, sometimes I feel like it's easy to get caught up in that now. And then now you're not playing well. If you're not playing well, you're not going to have no options.
That's what
you
want to
do
anyway.
So I feel like I got to continue to just, you know, stay focused and just be all in with the team and just play well. and try and make a run in March, and everything else take care of itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then how you feel about the team performance so far this season? How you know y'all liking what y'all doing?
Yeah, I think we definitely had some tough losses. We've been struggling a little bit offensively. I think defensively we're really, really good. But I feel like one thing, when you really watch some of these games on the replay and stuff like that, you realize how close it really is. Like, you lose by 2 or 3 in a 40-minute game. Well, look, you made like 10, 12, 13 mistakes as a team. If you just cut that to 6, you probably win. So it's like, you know, just kind of focus on having attention to detail. Focusing on the little things and just, you know, valuing every single possession, because that's really what it comes down to. Like, especially now, you know, and as we in February, you know, all the teams kind of really know each other. They know what they're going to do. They know who their main guys are and stuff like that. So it's going to come down to, you know, who wants it more, who wants going to compete, and then who's going to, you know, execute their stuff and be more detailed.
And then I think what I've taken from your answer is just pretty much just holding each other accountable.
Yeah, no, it's definitely important to hold each other accountable. And it's important to do it in the right way, I think, too. Like, sometimes I feel like, especially, you know, as young men in college sports, people take holding accountability as kind of just like scolding each other and talking down to each other. I feel like, yeah, it's important if someone not doing something to get on them, but like, you also have to, like, the same time you get on them, you also have to uplift them. And I feel like tone is everything with that. That's important. How you deliver a message to somebody can be pivotal to how they take it and how they receive it. If I'm just yelling at you all the time, you ain't going to want to hear what I got to say. You can be like, yo, fuck that man. Like,
yeah, that's true.
But if I'm talking to you in a certain way where it's like, all right, bet, we got to do this, this, and this, I believe in you, like, you're going to take that in better, and we're going to ultimately get stuff done, which is what we both want to do. So,
yeah, that's great. I would definitely try to implement that to my day-to-day life, too, just because sometimes, like it's even like arguments sometimes, like most of the time, like, you all might be saying the same things, but from a different point of view. So just being able to, you know, just have those conversations and just, okay, now I'm listening. What do you think I should be able to do to help educate myself more on the topic? You know, just stuff of that nature.
It's hard. It's hard. Like, you know, it's human nature. Like, we all passionate. We all, you know, we all want to win as far as, you know, when it comes to basketball or anything in life. You passionate about what y'all want to do with this podcast. Like, and you know, sometimes, you know, stuff happens, you get frustrated, but I feel like it's important to channel that energy in the right way, because that's how you really get stuff done.
Yeah, you gotta use that. It's kind of like using when you get angry, man. You gotta turn that anger into do something positive. You know, you gotta go to the gym. You gotta work on your craft, whatever the case may be. It's kind of like in those times when it's heated, use that as fuel.
Yeah,
you know, when it's heated and shit like that, work through it, and shit on the other side, team morale, chemistry, all that through the roof, because we didn't work through an issue. Now we got closer to a resolution.
Yep.
I mean, I feel like that's great when, especially in the time of season y'all in right now, y'all trying to get a push, you know, y'all trying to create all the momentum that y'all can.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yes. Know? And then on top of that too, I wanted to ask you, like, what's your game day routine? Like who you listening to and stuff of that nature?
I would say, so we got, if a game is at, it depends on what time the game is at. So
let's say a late night game.
Yeah, most games are at 7 o'clock. So if it's on a Saturday or if it's on a Wednesday, Saturday or Wednesday are usually game times for Valley games. So depending on whether or not I got class, we usually got shoot around at like, it's usually 5 hours before. So we usually got shoot around at like 1 o'clock, 1:30. We go to shoot around, probably get a bunch of free throws up. Then we're going to probably go over to scout the game plan for the game. We're going to get some more shots up. And then we're going to go over, rerun through our plays just to make sure we're sharp. After that, we'll have food. I'll eat. And then I'll try and get off my feet for like an hour or two. It kind of varies what I do. Recently, I'll stretch and then get off my feet. I'll like watch a movie or something, try and get my mind just off the game for a little bit. Because I feel like sometimes, well, not me personally, but sometimes you can psych yourself out if you just sit there and just think about the whole
thing. Yeah.
So I try and watch a movie or get on YouTube or something, just get my mind, you know, get my mind off the game a little bit. Then I'll probably get back to the arena about 1:30 before. I'll shower. I'll start to stretch again. Who I'm listening to, it really varies. I fuck with Lil Durk, Lil Baby, Pooh Shiesty. Who else? I don't know if y'all heard him, OT7 Kwani. I'll be listening to him a lot from Philly. Tell you hard.
That's one of my roommate's favorite.
Should get you going. I've been listening to a lot of V's lately too, so probably bump that. Then I'll get back outside. to the court around probably
damn,
an hour
no before New York niggas. Damn.
I mean, who really popping in New York right now?
I was gonna say shit.
Oh no,
Fabio, that's it. That's the only New York nigga.
He
I know.
Not even really like.
He ain't popping though.
I feel like a lot. You get on New York. New York rap scene is in shambles right now. Like you either all the best rappers are either dead or in jail. Like,
yeah.
I know D Thang just came home, but
it's tough in New York right now.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, and what it is New York be on it. As far as like they really have like a hip hop task force out there, like there's 1 million police officers in the city, so like they not playing around over there with that drill, with the drill music.
Damn.
Yeah, they're not playing. Like if you drilling, they gonna find you. Like straight up. Damn. That's what the mayor had a message like the beginning of the year, like you're not playing with that. So they be on it.
Mm-hmm. And also I feel like another thing too is like news just came out that like New Jersey is supposed to be hosting the World Cup final. So they're trying to make sure, you know, at least the city is somewhat stables for like when that takes place.
Yeah.
I feel like that might be also playing into factors.
Oh yeah, they be on it. NYPD be on it.
But yo, routine you were saying.
Oh yeah, so yeah, I've been listening to a lot of V's lately, and then after that, when we at the 63-minute mark, that's when we start our warm up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then after that, it's game time. After that.
Gotcha.
So yeah.
Do you ever feel like sometimes, you know, like when you're not there physically, like how do you try to, you know, be there mentally? Because sometimes, you know, you can't always just, you know, sometimes you might not have the best game that you might want, you know, you thought you were going to have. So like, how do you still be there for the team?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me, in order for me to be there mentally, I think I have to be there physically.
Right.
So, all right, boom. If I'm feeling sore one game, because like, you know, stuff happens. Like one game you might feel terrible, like body wise, like damn, my legs is tired. I'm sore. That means I just got to stretch and get myself going. Like I got to, you know, maybe take an Advil or something like that to kind of ease the pain, or take a Tylenol if I got a headache or something like that. Like I got to make sure physically I feel the best when it's time to tip off, so that mentally I can only focus on the mental, just be locked in.
Right.
I feel like if I got aches and pains or I don't feel it, then I'm thinking about that and not the game. So that's definitely, I think physically is important just as mentally.
Okay.
That's what's up.
Then this is probably going to be one of my last questions, but like, which one of your teammates do you think you rely on the most to help push you through certain things?
That's a good question. As far as what, like on the court or off the court?
Like both, if you have an answer for both.
Okay, so I'll say probably on the court, I'll probably say Jordan. Because Jordan probably one of our better defenders. He always bring good energy. Like, you know, he going to play hard. I think he kind of like the X factor for the team because he kind of gives us a different look, you know, as far as being able to guard different positions. Right. And then on offense, he one of those guys, like, you know, he not going to do stuff that's out of his character, out of his body. So, like, therefore, he always going to make the right play. So, like, he not going to shoot no wild shots. He not going to have no dumb turnovers. Like, he just going to be really solid. And I feel like that's underrated. Like, if you know what you're going to get out of somebody every single day, that's consistency. That's important. Like, all right, I know what I'm going to get at you. I know what I'm going to get from you today in this game because you do what you're supposed to do. You just do your job. Like, I feel like that's important to have. Off the court, I'll say Nick again. Like I knew Nick a little bit before I came to ISU, because my boy at my old school, they're from the same hood out in Chicago. Okay. So he used to come out to Jersey all the time. So just knowing somebody out here before I got here, I thought was kind of cool, just to be able to chop it up with and know and kind of just, you know, get down with. So yeah,
that's what's up, man.
That's great.
Shit. I ain't got nothing else for him, man. I think this shit has been a banger of an episode, man. We appreciate you for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate y'all.
Before we get out of here, you got any questions for us? Anything you want to ask us?
Shit, I mean, when did y'all start the podcast?
You want to take that one?
Yeah, we started a little bit over 2 years ago. So okay. December 2021.
That's what's up. Now y'all doing y'all thing, man.
So we going into year three.
Yep.
Everything up, man.
Yeah, only up from here.
Yeah, everything up, man.
We appreciate you too for you know, like I said in the beginning of this episode, like taking the time out of your day, out of your busy schedule to make time for this.
No, I appreciate it.
No problem.
For sure. But before we get out of here, you want to get the people somewhere they can connect with you on any socials or anything like that?
Nah, yeah, y'all can follow me on Instagram at MilesSB, MyLESSB. My Twitter is MilesFoster7. Yeah, that's really the only really two social medias I've been on. I don't really be on nothing else for real. But yeah, I appreciate y'all. And yeah.
Thank you again. And before we head out, Free Sauce listeners, please never, never stop learning.
Ever stop learning, man. Free Sauce Podcast. We out,
man. We out.
Yep.
Serve.
She do what I want like Somerset. I'm still getting bucks in Boston. I feel like Drew Holiday.